Please be seated. This morning, we are privileged to have our own superintendent of the Central Conference, Reverend Dr. Danny Martinez. And we're also privileged, he might even say more so, because his mom is also here.
Yes.
So, muchas gracias, hermana. You are going to be blessed this morning. You know, I'm not going to read through his whole bio, and it's not going to be boring when he's preaching to us, so you're not going to get much of a chance. So if you attended the Evelyn Wood Speed Reading Course, you can do it right now, really fast. But I just want to say that he is a gifted musician, playing in a number of different bands, having recorded. If you go to Midwinter or Annual Meeting or up to Covenant Harbor, you will find him up on stage playing with his band. And many of us have been blessed. I was talking to Stu this morning, and he said, I think I know who that is. So we're blessed, and you need to remember, I think, Danny, the reason there aren't a lot of us here today is people get terrified when snow happens, that this is not a judgment, but things do happen, and so our numbers are down, but we're going to make up for it because he has a sense of humor. I see you smiling. So be ready, and hopefully he'll let us know when the laughing points are. But the other piece will be he likes participation from you. So I just told him you guys are all over it. Okay. Anyway, blessings on you, brother. So great to have you with us. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you.
A sitting ovation. Thank you so much for that welcome. God is good. And all the time. I got to tell you, I really like your pulpit. My goodness, this is a nice pulpit. It feels like a spaceship. I want to say that I'm very grateful to be here this morning. It's been 2 years in the making. I'm starting my third year as the superintendent, and I want to express just this extreme gratitude towards your pastors. Pastor Mark is a very respected man throughout Latin America, someone that loves the Lord, someone that, no one is saying amen, but I'm going to assume you're saying amen inside. He's a man of God. Can I hear some sort of reaction? Great. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for your ministry throughout so many years, through so many people, and it's been such a sacrificial ministry. You are loved and very well respected, I want you to know. Thank you for your ministry. And, of course, my friend, Pastor Alicia, who I have seen come into the covenant and grow in the covenant, and I was there for her graduation from North Park and have been part of the process of bringing her into the church. So I feel like I'm connected. So my name, once again, is Danny Martinez. I represent the Central Conference. Some of you may not even know what that is. So if it's okay, before the sermon, which I think I have 5 hours to complete. Pastor said, you have 5 hours, but no one's staying for 5 hours. So we are a cluster of churches, 111 churches, and you are part of them. I want you to know that you are my 88th visit in these 2 years. So I'm exhausted. I don't know if you can tell. I have had the privilege. Go on to the next one, please. We are in 5 states, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Michigan. We have the UP. Any one of you know where the UP is, okay? Well, I'm a Chicagoan, and I lived here for 20 years, and I didn't know what the UP was. So when I started, I go, hey, what's the up? And people said, please don't call it that. That's not what it's called. It's the UP. And I go, what is it? It's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I'm like, okay, well, I'd like to go and see it, right? We have about 12 churches there. And when I went to a men's retreat, I had a chance to preach there. They told me, Pastor, you need to do the polar bear dip.
Yes.
That sounded like ice cream to me. So I go, yeah, I'll have ice cream. And no, it's not ice cream. What you do is you the lake is frozen, so you open a hole and you jump in. And I go, why? And they said, it's for fun. And I go, well, you and I have a very different concept of what fun is. Latinos, we don't do that. We don't swim with the sharks. We don't tie our ankles and throw ourselves with bungee jumping. We don't do that. We don't do things like that. We have other things to consider. Go on to the next one, please. We are a resource for you. And by the way, we want to say thank you for your support. You are our partners. You are financial partners. We couldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to do the work that we do if it wasn't for your partnership. So thank you so much for allowing us to be a financial partner. And basically what we do is we resource churches. We are there when there's crisis. We're there when there's pastoral changes. We're there when you need us. So we're kind of like insurance, and you don't really know why you're paying it until it happens, but it's really nice to have it when it does. What we're doing at this point, we are building a website that is going to be really interactive so that anyone and everyone in the congregation can have access to all our documents, anywhere from safety with children, how to do church better, how to reach your community, etc. As you can imagine, our churches are aging. It's getting harder to reach younger people. Younger people seem to have a different idea of what church is and how to love God and how to have a relationship. So we need people to do vitality work in our congregations, and we do that. We also are doing church planting. Go on to the next one, please. People have been calling my office and asking why Antonio Banderas is on the video. It is not Antonio Banderas, and if you don't know what that is, you got to go home and watch Shrek when you get home. Go on to the next one, please. I didn't get a good laugh on that. Okay. This is our staff, and even though Peter Shoblum, whom you know, has retired as of January 1st, we are so excited because God is bringing good people to us. We have four full-time positions. With 111 churches, that's really not enough. I think you can know that, right? We really need about 10 people, but we're asking God to expand our territory as we go. Go on the next one, please. And one of the nicest things about the Central Conference is that I can go to a church and have a robed choir on a Sunday morning. I can go and have a dancing lesson in one of our Latina churches. I can go and lose 10 pounds in an African-American church service. Have you ever been to an African-American service? Wow, I lost 10 pounds and I gained it immediately because they always have good food after the service. But our covenant ethos is not one particular worship style. Our ethos is being a mosaic of people. So in a world where people think they're losing their country, they're losing their religion, the covenant is embracing people from all over the world. I want you to know that in heaven, we're all going to be together. Mm-hmm. Someone should be saying a little bigger amen than that, because when we go to heaven, there is no south side in heaven. There's no west side. And there's not like, oh God, there's Latinos in the south side. I don't know. There's not going to be any of that. I want you to know that we're going to be together with the Lord forever because we are one in Jesus Christ. Now, go on to the next one, please. We truly believe that we're better together. The covenant has had a tradition of embracing minorities, and we're about 30% minority now. When we have incredible ministries throughout the world, including, of course, Latin America, which is very dear to my heart. I was born in Guatemala out of this lovely woman that's here, and we came to Chicago in 1981, and we came because we needed opportunity, we needed life, we needed a place where we can be safe, and I'm very grateful to be a part that this is our country. Now, you go on to the next one. We've read the scripture today, and it's Jeremiah 29:11, and I want you to know that some people really romanticize scripture. Do you know what I'm talking about? So some people grab a verse, and we call it in seminary grabbing a text out of context as a pretext. And what that means is that sometimes we manipulate the scripture to say what it wanted to say, when what it's a student of the scriptures, we need to learn what did the writer meant to say when he said what he said. And what is the Lord trying to tell the church today? So let us pray together. Would you speak to us, Father? Would you open up our eyes and our ears to see and hear what you have for us. We thank you for Trinity. Thank you for this church that has stood the test of time, that has been a faithful testimony and a faithful witness for so many years. We bless the pastors, we bless the musicians, we bless the church, the leaders. We bless them to be fertile. We bless them to multiply. We bless them to bless others. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So part of the covenant, we have a triannual event called CHIC that is changing its name to UNITE. It's a youth ministry, and we gather about 10,000 kids from all over the country, high school kids. So you can imagine there's a lot of noise on that, you know, on those stages. And this is how I learned that in 1991 when we sang this song, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, I know the plans I have for you." It's a beautiful song, right? So what we think sometimes as Christians is that this is a love song, and contemporary Christian music can be a little kind of like Jesus is my boyfriend kind of music sometimes, right? You know, we have gone from holy, holy, holy to something else. When we sing hymns, by the way, we're declaring God's theology. We're declaring who he is, so we got to sing it with all of our hearts and our minds and our diaphragms, because it is declaring truth. But when we talk about Jeremiah 29:11, we usually get hung up on this, that God has plans for you, and God has good plans, and they're to bring you hope in a future. And that is true. Amen. However, that's not the only truth about this passage. As you go on the next one, as you have read already, Israel had gone through a horrible time, just as Puerto Rico is going right now through the third earthquake and many other seismic activities. Jerusalem had lost its wall. The Babylonians had come, destroyed the wall. And for context, Israel was really hated, as it still is, in the Middle East. Many people wanted to be destroyed because they were claiming to be the people of God. So now they have no wall. They're vulnerable to its neighbors who hate them. And now, what the Babylonians did, they come in and they take anything that they think is valuable. Now, I want you to really consider that, because what did they take? They took the riches from the temple. They took the wealthy people. They took the educated people. And one thing that really bugged me a little bit was they also took all the people they thought were good looking. So I probably wouldn't have made the cut. I don't want to say most of us would, but you know what I mean, right? Why is it that some people think makes you valuable or not? When we're so valuable to Jesus. So valuable that God gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We are valuable, but yet some people want to put a label on us. So if you don't have the right resources, or you don't have, you have the wrong skin color, or you don't have the right education, that you're not worth it and you're not as valuable. And the scripture rejects that, which is truth for the world. So now you have people that are leaving and that are being taken away, and they're not going happy, right? But the people that are left behind are people that are being rejected. They were hurt, and now they're rejected. They don't feel valuable, and now they're vulnerable. And they're praying that someone, and somehow that wall will be built again. And the people that are being taken to Babylon are praying, "Lord, bring us back home. Bring us back to Jerusalem. We've had immigration problems for a long time." Long time. So they go to Babylon, and now their constant prayer is, "God, would you please return us home?" Someone in one of the Psalms says, "How can we sing songs of Jerusalem when we are in a foreign land?" And then he goes on to a couple of nasty verses where they wish for their children to be crushed against the wall because they're so hurt that we're taken away from their place. And there are people that are in a not safe place right now. More than ever, the church has loneliness among its people. For some reason, we are not as connecting as before. Technology has set us apart even further than we were before. The phones, our smartphones are making us dumb. Someone should say amen to that. Our children are becoming zombies. I was at Christmas and all of my nephews were on their phone, putting on Facebook, spending time with family. Some of you are saying, speak, Lord, but not so close, please. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Go on the next one, please. The God of Israel, those who I've carried into exile. Who carried them into exile? The Lord. I don't like that. Because when bad things happen to me, I always want to blame the devil. But yet, sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives for a purpose. If you can't say amen, say I or ouch or whatever. Because I don't want to think that God allows bad things to happen to my life, even if they're for a reason. It says, to all I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, it speaks life into them and says, build houses, live, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry, and have sons and daughters. Find. Well, wait a minute, this must be a typo. It says, marry and have sons or daughters. Weren't the people of Israel not allowed to marry outside of their race? But the existence of the very nation depended on them continuing to multiply. So now we have interracial marriages. And by the way, those interracial marriages caused a lot of problems because people had a very hard time accepting them. This people became the children of Samaria. You remember Samaria, right? Chapter 4 of John, where there's a Samaritan woman in a Samaritan place, and they don't really want anything to do with the Jews, and they really hate the Jews because they themselves are Jews, but they're mixed. And I know what it's like to be mixed. In Guatemala, most of my people are mestizos. They're mixed. They're half indigenous and half Spaniards. Thank God we don't have the lisp, but that's a different story. Some of you don't know what that means. We can Google it later. But it also says, increase in number there, do not decrease. Live, multiply. And sometimes, as I was looking at your demographic here, you know, this community has changed quite a bit. There's people here that don't necessarily look at God or the scriptures the way that we do. Some people don't even care about God or the scriptures. And yet, you are here and you've been a witness to what God has done in this place for so many years. There have been miracles done here. No one can testify to that. God has changed lives in this place. Hearts have been transformed. People have been shaped here. And I gather God hasn't changed, even though the community has. God can continue to do that and will continue to do that if we take our task seriously and what it's like to be the scripture, the church. Not the scriptures, the church. Verse 7 says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city, which I, by the way, taking a credit again, I have carried into exile. Pray to the Lord, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The God of Israel, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. And I love this because just a few chapters afterwards, there's this guy named Hananiah, a prophet that really wanted to cheer the people back in Jerusalem. So he goes to them and he goes, hey, everybody, the Lord just spoke to me. He's being false, by the way, when he says this. He says, just like that guy has a yoke, someone was walking around with a wooden yoke, said, the Lord is going to break that yoke. And he grabs the yoke from him and just breaks it in half. The Lord is going to break that yoke just like that. And people rejoiced, but that was a false sense of joy. Because the Lord had not said that. Actually, the Lord sends Isaiah and goes, look at what this fool is doing. Go correct this guy, please. Then Isaiah goes, okay. And he goes, hey, I'm so glad you mentioned that, but that's not what the Lord is saying to me. The Lord is saying that you broke a yoke of wood, but I'm replacing it with a yoke of iron. And I tell you, it won't be before 70 years before this people come back to Jerusalem. Now think about that. What does it mean to not come back in 70 years? How many of you would come back to Jerusalem in 70 years from now? Not me. That means I'd be 120. To some of that means that you will be in a foreign land, out of your place of comfort, till the day that you go with the Lord. This is a harsh reality. And all of that to say, I have not sent them, declares the Lord. And then he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. In spite of everything that you're suffering, in spite of everything that you're going through, I have plans to give you hope and to give you a future. And I believe that for Trinity Covenant. You are placed, this is such a beautiful building. You have great pastors, great musicians. You have a congregation that has been faithful. God has plans to prosper you and to give you hope in a future and to renew who you are. I sincerely believe that. And Pastor Mark and Pastor Alicia, you're part of that. But you're not the whole picture of that. It's the whole church. So go on to the next one, please. God has good plans for us. Can I see a show of hands of those of you that accept that word from the Lord, that he has good plans for us? Amen. Plans to bring us hope in a future, but are we aligned to his purpose? I gotta get a little closer to you for this. I love that we recited the Lord's Prayer today. You know why? How does it start when we say the Lord's Prayer? How does it start? It says, my Father, your Father, his Father, her Father. Oh, well, that kind of puts us in a bind, doesn't it? Because in order to pray that, we have to say, what? Yeah, but we don't really like that. Do we really believe that he is our Father? I know he's my Father. But is he our Father? This is where why racism is so dumb. Because God created us all. We're made in his image. And the fact that some people discriminate against one another, it just doesn't go with the our Father. It starts like that. It doesn't even get anywhere else before you understand that he is your Father, and he is also the father of someone of a different faith, even though they might not be in accordance to him. He is our Father. He created you. He created me. He wanted to give me a little more insulation for times like this. But he created us all, right? I am so grateful for that. But when we talk about being aligned to his purpose, is look at what the Lord's Prayer says. It says, let your kingdom come, right? And what else? Your will be done. But do we really believe that? Do we line ourselves up to his purpose? Or saying, okay, that's the purpose of God. Do I align myself to that? Because the way that I hear Christians pray, We think God is Santa Claus. Amen. Lord, give me, and I receive, and I give, and give her too, but give me more. Pay attention to how you pray. What are you asking God for? When I think the Trinity starts praying, Lord, how can we align to your kingdom? How can we make your will done on earth as it is in heaven? I think that we're going to be okay. Also, are we prepared?
You have, how many people fit here, Pastor?
400.
400? Okay. So what would happen if today we had 400 people in the service? You'd faint? Well, hopefully, maybe that's something that God wants to challenge you with. It can happen, right? But you know what? Would you really be prepared to receive so many people? Are the people that are here being welcoming and loving? Whatever, I've heard that from your pastors, by the way, that you are a loving congregation. If we gave you a chance to meet and greet, it would be a half an hour, right? But are we willing to accept others, especially when they come and they don't really know how to be the church? I was a part of a church plant in San Diego, and we had some older folks from our retirement village across the street, and they were lovely people, but they were not ready to accept people from the outside. People came from the church and they put their feet on the pew. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Like, oh, yeah. They spoke during the service, or the baby was making noise in the back, and everybody's like, oh, God, there is a baby here. When a baby's a sign of life, right? And the mom is not having fun. She's not there just to annoy you. I'm sorry. Should I be getting done soon? Some people are going, oh, God, I don't know about this superintendent. You see, you let Latinos in, and you know, so you can see what happens, right? By the way, I have the privilege to be the first Latino superintendent for the denomination. I mean, thank God, right? You know what my concern is? I don't want to mess it up for any other ones. So just to get done, are we willing to invest in the land? This is where God has you. I believe that you're in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. I deeply believe that. You're not here by happenstance. There's no such thing with God. You are here because you were chosen to be here. And you are important here. And if you've ever been made to feel differently, I want you to know that God is telling you that He has a strong purpose and hope for you today. That's why you're here. But are you willing to invest in the land? Are you willing to bless the community? This is where God has you, so this is where you need to plant. This is where you need to invest. This is where you need to really reach out to the community that God has placed here. Are we distracted? I talk about technology, right? Politics. I have never seen the church so divided over politics. I want you to know, God's people, that it doesn't matter what your politics are. The politics of the scripture is this. Love God. And the second part, what is it? Love who?
Your neighbor.
No, that's not it. Because do we really practice that? We're so divided now. If you're the wrong party, we don't want to talk to you. We can't even. Our politics, my friend. First of all, I want you to know that our scriptures do not support someone being our Savior other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Number one. Number two, our hope and our citizenship is where? In heaven. This is just a temporary place, my brothers and sisters. I love the retirement plan there. I love my 401k, my pension. Because when we get to heaven, oh my goodness, will it be a happy eternity for us to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I get excited about that. If we could get excited about that, God's church. Ungodly relationships. The Lord may be asking you to cut things that are not being good for your relationship with Him. We all have vices. We all have problems. We all come to Christ because we're broken. No one here is perfect. There's no perfect people allowed in this church. So welcome. I'm the biggest one of them all. I have so much that God needs to do with me. Go on to the next one, please. So, two things before I leave you. One is, we are part of what the conference will be doing with the churches is that they would like to continue to learn how to attract their community, how to develop better leaders. We have the Lead Initiative workshops that are going through Chicago. You should have the dates on that. We just had one in the north side of Chicago, and we'll met Yesterday, we will have one in the south side of Chicago as well. And all of the people that want to see something happen in their church should come. It's a free training, and everyone is invited. You can be as young as 14, as old as 114. If you're 115, don't come, please. And I want you to know that, go on the next one, God has been blessing us with church planting. We had not planted churches in 10 years. And God, in the last 2 years, has allowed us to plant 5 churches with no money. God is good. God is giving us people that have said, listen, I believe that God wants to do good things. And they have provided resources. But church planting is the best way of evangelism. Some people would never go to a church. They would go to a church plant. So I'm going to ask you to pray for that as well. And leaving you with this, on the next one, and the last one is investing in the land. God is doing good things here at Trinity. If you cannot see it, I need you to pray differently and ask God to show you what he's doing here. The people that he has lined up for you as your pastors and as your leaders and as the people that love the church are good people. You're placed in this exact critical moment to make a difference in your community. And every one of you is important for that. Tell you one quick story. I was at an airport. I don't remember which airport. And there was this woman that was screaming on the phone. And she was just screaming. And I'm like, oh. You know, I'm typing a letter of reference for a pastor. And I just couldn't do it. This lady is on the phone crazy, right? And there was no other place to sit. So I took my headphones and I started listening. And she was apparently talking to her brother, who had called her to say that he was going to kill himself after he hung up with her. So my heart changed a little bit after I heard that. And when she hung up, she called her dad, who she had not talked to for many years, and said, Dad, I know you and I are not in the right place, but your son needs you right now. Please go find him. When she hung up, she cried bitterly. Now, in this space and time, when we are in as a superintendent, I have to be careful with any kind of contact that I have. I am someone that loves to hug people, but I can't hug people openly anymore. And I'm more limited. You know the kind of space that we're living in now, right? But I just fell from the Lord. You see, the American way, the thing would be to leave her alone. Oh, my God, let's give her space and you know, just let her, right? But I'm Latino, so. But even more than that, I'm a pastor. And I placed my hand on her shoulder, and I said, I am a pastor. Can we pray for your brother? And she threw herself in my arms. I wasn't ready for that, by the way. I like to think I'm stronger, but yeah. And we prayed as she cried. And when she was done, she told me that her prayer was that if God loved her, and if God loved her brother, to send someone to pray for her. Now, this is not a big deal. I preface by saying that. God thought so much of her that he sent her the superintendent of the Central Conference to pray for her. As I told you, it's not a big deal, right? But you don't have to be the superintendent to pray for people. There's people that God sets around you all the time that you are too busy to see. There's people around you all the time that we don't hear. So my prayer today as we finish up is that God will open up our eyes to see the people that God places around us all the time. He sets up divine appointments for you all the time, and we're just not taking advantage of it. So as we go forth this week, I will pray that God sets up 5 divine appointments with people. Now, I don't want to make you nervous. People don't like to evangelize, right? But we should be able to say two things to people. One is why we love Jesus. Can you just say that? Why do you love Jesus? Tell her what God has done for you. And second one is why you love your church. Because if you're not excited about church, how in the world are you going to be able to invite anybody else to church? Why love God and why I love Trinity? And I love the name Trinity, by the way. God is our God, our Father. He is also the Son, and he's also the Holy Spirit. May I invite you to stand for those of you that are able, and let's finish together. I'd like to pray for you. Actually, I'd like to pray for us because I got to do this too. And I have a chance to do that. I'm as a church planter. I'm always inviting people to go to church. But I believe that Trinity is at a critical moment right now where we really need to see his hand moving for us to move forward. I believe in this church. I believe in the movement of the Holy Spirit here. So let me invite you, those of you that would like to raise your hands with me in sign of submission to him and say, Father, we pray that you will open up our eyes big to see the people that you're placing around us in order to bless them with our testimony, with our statement on why we love you and why we love Trinity Covenant. We pray, Father, that we are able to hear those around us and that we may offer an invitation, a helping hand. May we be the church. May you be our Father, and may we be our children. For Father, you are so good to us. We have nothing but gratitude for all the things you're doing for us. We bless you as we bless this beautiful church. And all God's people say, amen. Blessings, church.